tonight, I trust that you will do so. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew the 13th chapter. And we read verse 1 through to verse number 9. That is Matthew chapter 13 from verse 1 through to verse number 9. It reads, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And a great crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. This is the word of God. Tonight I want to draw to your attention the subject, do you have ears to hear? Matthew chapter 13, with the parable of the sower, it paints a picture of a man sowing seed with the hope of one day reaping from what he has sowed. The gospel records some 60 different parables of Jesus. And most of these parables are found in Matthew and Luke. A few are found in Mark and none in John. It has been estimated that one-third of Jesus' recorded teachings, they are found in the parables. A parable has been commonly defined as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The word parable means a placing of one thing beside another with a view to compare. In this parable, or in this chapter of the book of Matthew, we find Jesus saying the word 19 times here. It is important, brethren, that we hear the word of God. Are you with me? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then in the book of Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, he says, take heed what you hear. In Luke chapter 8 and verse number 18, then the Bible says, take heed how you hear. It is important that we pay attention to what we hear. The word hear means to perceive or apprehend by the ear. To gain knowledge by the hearing. It means to listen with attention, with favor or compliance. To consider favorably. To hear in the context of Matthew 13,
is not involuntary hearing, but attentive hearing, listening with a view to understand. It is applied hearing. It is not passive hearing, but active hearing. Active, voluntary hearing. And so Jesus continued to minister to the crowd. He did something that he had not done before. For the first time, Matthew's gospel records Jesus speaking in parables. The parable of the sower is a fervent call for attentive hearing. Jesus describes the hearers and he placed them in the parable and then leads them to form a judgment. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This parable draws an agricultural image. These individuals hearing Jesus were familiar with sowing and reaping. And the emphasis in this parable is the result of the seed sown. The Bible tells us that a sower went out to sow seed, and some seed fell by the wayside. Other seeds fell on rocky places. Then other seeds fell among thorns. And then some seeds fell on good ground. Some of us who know anything about sowing will know that not every seed that you plant you will reap from, depending on the soil. And so the farmer in this parable, he sowed, but he had four different results because there are four different kinds of soil or four different kinds of hearts. I want us to note tonight that the greater number always rejects Jesus. Are you with me? And the greater number of hearers is faithful hearers. Fruitless hearers or unprofitable hearers. The majority always, Brother Powell, reject and despise Jesus. It was Jesus who said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13 that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go in by it. Isaiah, the messianic prophet, saw the objection. He saw the rejection. They saw that they would rebel against Jesus, the only Son of God. And he wrote Isaiah 53 from verse number 1. He asked the question, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow before him as a tender plant, and a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our grief and he has carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, watch it, we are healed. And we have gone, all of us, astray, the Bible says. For all we, like sheep, have gone astray. And what now? And the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. I believe it should be on us that our iniquities laid, but I thank God for Jesus Christ. And let's look at this parable. Luke's account of the parable in chapter 8 and verse 5 says, a sower went out to sow his seed. The seed is the word of God. The seed sown is the word of God. It is called the word of the kingdom, Brother Mitchell. It is called the word of the kingdom of heaven. It is the word of the gospel. It is the gospel of the kingdom. It is the word of the king because it came from the king. The word that came from Jesus is a law by which we must be ruled and governed. Wherever the word of God is preached, there is power. It's the word of God, which is seed, that is sown, can look like a dead, dry thing. But never underestimate the power and the potential of a seed. The seed has germinating power in itself. It has life in it that leads to endless reproduction. It has life. Have you ever seen the apple seed? Just a little bit bigger than a marble. Have you ever seen the apple tree? And that thing can get big. Huge, big trunk, leaves. And every season, for years, it can outlive you and me with what that can produce. And all of that potential is in that little thing, that seed. The Bible tells us that the seed is the Word of God. And it is powerful. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is active. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is living. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow. The Bible says it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is alive and active and is powerful. Paul the Apostle says in Romans 1 and verse number 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jews first and also to the Greek. Let me announce tonight that for salvation to be realized, you need a heart that believes. Are you with me? For salvation to be realized, you need a heart that believes. Because a heart that does not believe the Word of God will perish. The heart with the Word of God will be able to produce the kind of people that God wants us to be. And in turn, we will reproduce after our own kind. The heart must have the Word of God for it to germinate. Then I hear the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18. He says, for the word or the preaching of the cross or the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is what? It is the power of God. Who are those who are perishing? Well, they are unbelievers. Are you with me? Those who are perishing are unbelievers. Well, how do I know that? Well, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should what? Not perish, but have everlasting life. Therefore, if you don't believe, you will perish and not have everlasting life. The Word of God has power in it. But the Word of God, which is the seed, is incorruptible. It is pure. The Word is righteous and absolute. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse number 23, and he says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God that lives and abides forever. The Word of God is incorruptible. It's pure and righteous. But the seed, which is the Word of God, is not temporary, Brother Powell, but the Word of God is eternal. In other words, the Word of God, which is the seed, is timeless. Isaiah declared in Isaiah 40 and verse number 8, he says, grass will wither, flowers will fade, but the Word of God shall stand forever. Jesus himself says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will stand forever. And the seed is the Word of God. Let me go further. The Word of God, which is a seed, is profitable. It is able to yield fruitful return. You see, I believe that God is a businessman. Yeah, he wants return. Eh? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 14. Paul writing to the young evangelist, and hear what he says. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from childhood you have learned or known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We must, let me talk to members. The things that we have, we continue in them. See, we must be better today than we were yesterday. And we must hope to climb to a higher level tomorrow. We must learn and grow. But the Apostle Paul continued. And he says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, what is right. For reproof, what is not right. For correction, how to get right. For instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word of God is able. But not only that, but the word of God is priceless. The word of God is by the grace of God. In fact, it is called the word of his grace, or the gospel of his grace. It is by the grace of God that we are saved. It is the gospel that brings forth the fruit in our souls. Colossians chapter 1. Pick up at verse number 3. The Bible says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith, the one you have in Christ Jesus, and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, and is bearing, you see that? The seed, which is the word of God, is bearing fruit, and it's doing something, as Paul says, it is also growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard. Do you have ears to hear? Since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. When we hear God's word, we need to hear it with understanding. Now, if there is power in the seed, then it is unnatural for the seed not to produce. Now, you just stay with me. If there is so much power in the seed, it is unnatural for the seed not to produce. Let me go further. Therefore, if you hear the word of God and you don't respond to the word of God, it is unnatural. Let me fix that. The unfaithful hearing of the word of God is not natural, but self-induced. You see, disobedience to the word of God is an unnatural, irrational response to the word. Because the power is in the seed. Let me show you. If you get the active seed, and you put it right here, it will stay there for years. But you just scratch the dirt and drop that thing. It starts to grow. The seed will do what it does naturally. So when you open your heart and you receive the word of God, it is natural for you to respond in a favorable way. When you don't, it is self-induced. When one hears the word of God and remains an unfaithful hearer, remains an unproductive hearer, it is the result of self-induced hindrance and willful impediment to listening to the truth. And so we ask you tonight, just make a choice. Just respond to the word. Infidelity, Brother Powell, is a sad heart, not the heart. But let's deal with the soil. And we might just get to deal with one of these guys tonight. The heart of man is the soil. The soil represents the different kinds of hearers, or the different kinds of hearts. As in the parable, when we sow the seed, different responses will come from those we have preached to and those we have taught the word. These hearts represent the moral condition of the human mind. They have not been formed by nature, but by the condition adopted by that man because of his mind. What is the heart? The heart is the seat of the physical life. You know, it's not this thing. This is your pump, right? It is the seat of the moral nature and the spiritual life. The heart is the seat of grief and desire, affection, perception, thoughts, and even understanding. It is the seat of our reasoning power, imagination, conscience, intentions, and purpose. I announce tonight, you are what your heart is. Out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. You are what your heart is. In Matthew chapter 13, our text, verse number 4, the Bible says, as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. The apostles didn't understand. You know, they said, Lord, why do you talk to us in parables? And they went to him quietly and asked him to explain. And so he did. Verse number 19. Jesus says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. Do you tonight have a wayside heart? This wayside, impenetrable, and hard heart couldn't receive the word. This man is described as a careless, unprofitable, and mindless hearer of the word. He's a man who is not prepared for what he has received. This man has a hard heart. An impenetrable heart. He received the word and he did not cover it by paying attention. He left it exposed and the devil came and took it. Matthew 13, verse number 14. The Bible says, hearing, you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing, Jesus says, you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart, and turn so that I should heal them. You know, when we're growing up and your parents say your ears are, you know, God bless all of us, 5 senses, some of us. Some of them don't work, you know, but anyway. My mother always said, you see, if this sense don't work, he will appeal to another one. If the sense of hearing don't work, then the sense of feeling, he will appeal to the other one. Jesus says that we must learn to hear and don't have a hard heart because of hard of hearing. To hear, and note Jesus says that they will hear and not understand. But watch this. To hear and not understand does not justify or pardon the unfaithful hearer. Within the heart of man, God places the potential to produce pleasing results. Within the heart, God placed, I repeat, potential for pleasing results. If your heart is hard, it's because you want it to be hard. The heart is like the soil. It is capable of improvement. Are you with me? You see, it is your will that determines the condition of your heart. If your heart is hard, then you can break it. Like the hard soil, you can plow it. Are you with me? So if the soil is tough, then you can plow it. And if it's too tough to plow, then you wet it. Paul says, I plant, but Apollos water. There is something about the water and the soil with the seed that will produce. And so you have the potential and the power in your will to make your heart ready for the word of God. Hardness of heart is willful blindness. Why is it that people, Brother Mitchell, are determined to remain ignorant? And because they are committed to be ignorant, Jesus says that they shut their learning senses. The eyes and the ears, they are the doors to the heart. So he says, seeing you will not see, hearing you will not perceive, so your heart will not be able to understand, because the entrance to your heart is through your ears and through your eyes. And so you need to open them so that you can learn. Closing your eyes to the truth will perpetuate darkness and ignorance. It was John who says in chapter 3 and verse number 19, Jesus speaking, and he says, and this is the condemnation, and that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The hard and impenetrable heart will always find fault. You know, people, you teach them the word, and gee whiz, them hearts are tough. Them find fault. They make excuses. And when they run out of excuses, they will ask unreasonable, irrational questions. Then they will resist, and then they will rebel. All of that is because of their heart. 2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 4. Here Peter says that they will say this. Where is the promise of his coming? Irrational question. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But verse 5 says, for this they willfully forget. One translation says, for they deliberately overlook this fact, that by the word of God, the same seed, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment for destruction of ungodly men. They will ask irrational questions. The hard heart is incapable of producing. The hard heart, as long as it remains hard, it's incapable of producing. Some people are like the wayside soil, and are so hardened their heart that they will not allow the word of God to take root, to germinate. They will not allow the word to stay. And Jesus explains, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. This heart is not just hard, but it's evil. And it will always depart from the living God. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 12. Beware, brethren. And he's talking to the brethren now. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If you insist tonight on being rebellious, if you insist tonight on being disobedient and hardening your heart, I guarantee God will help you to accomplish that task. Disobedience questions the very nature and the existence of God. I want to bring you back to the Old Testament, to a fellow who thought he was wise and that he was all that. God sent Moses to Pharaoh. And he sent Moses with a simple message. Let my people go. You have to get help to misunderstand that. Eh? God says, let my people go. Here I ask the question. Who is God that I should obey him? Plague after plague, Pharaoh hardened his heart. God provided irrefutable evidence that he was God. And Pharaoh still asked the question, who is God that I should obey him? He rejected the word of God, and he rejected the will of God. Pharaoh, for a good while, hardened his own heart, and then God helped him. You see, my God is kind. If you ask for it, he will give it to you. Watch this now. In Exodus chapter 7 and verse number 22, he sent Moses and he told Moses, just wave your hand over the water. Stretch your rod over the water and I will send blood. After the blood evidence, he didn't yield. Exodus chapter 7 and verse number 22. The Bible says, then the magicians of Egypt did so with the enchantment. They produced something like blood. Then Pharaoh's heart, watch this, grew hard. And he did not heed them as the Lord said. And Pharaoh turned and he went into his house. Neither was his heart moved by this. Blood evidence didn't work. Then God sent Exodus F. Frogs. In Exodus chapter 8 and verse number 8, when the frogs were in all over his house, he said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice. Look at verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not let the people go. Then God sent another evidence. He sent light. Pharaoh's magician, they were able to somehow produce something like blood. But light was too big for his magician because they could not reproduce that. Verse number 19 says, then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But the heart of Pharaoh grew hard and he did not heed them just as the Lord said. Pharaoh insisted on rejecting God's word and God's will. After each plague, you can read the sentence of doom. But Pharaoh hardened his heart and did not let the people go. He persisted in hardening his own heart. And after five plagues, then God helped him. In Exodus chapter 9, verse number 10 through to verse number 12. And they caused boils that break out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boils were on the magicians and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord now hardened Pharaoh's heart. And he did not heed them just as the Lord said. Chapter 10 and verse number 20 says, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and he did not let them go. After five plagues, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now my question to you tonight, how many sermons have you rejected? How many lessons have gone unheeded? Each sermon that you reject leaves you harder than the one before. Each sermon you disobey makes it easier for you to disobey the next. Every time we as preachers walk through your heart and sow the seed, we leave footprints hardening your heart if you don't obey the word of God. There is enough evidence, brethren, in the word of God that God's word is truth. But if you insist tonight on remaining an unbeliever, God is going to help you to remain an unbeliever. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 to the verse number 12. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing. Who are those who are perishing? Unbelievers. Because they refuse the love of the truth that they might be saved. Therefore, God will send them a strong delusion so that they may believe a lie, believe what is false, in order that they may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Every sermon the ungodly man hears that leaves him ungodly leaves him harder. And Jesus said, that the man who receives the word on the hard heart, the devil comes and takes it away so that he will not believe and be saved. When you hear the truth that can bring about a productive change and you reject it, you in effect isolate yourself from God. The hard heart renders the hearer hopeless. Are you with me? The hard heart renders the hearer hopeless. I want you to just bear in mind what I said earlier, that the Word of God is active, it's alive, it has the ability to produce and reproduce. But in this heart, it didn't even germinate. Think about that for a while. No chance at all to put down any root. We don't even know what kind of tree, because it didn't germinate. Ephesians chapter 4, pick up at verse number 17 through 19. Paul the apostle wrote, and he says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their mind. They are darkened by their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the darkness or the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice all kinds of impurity." Tonight, do you have the wayside heart? Only you can prepare your heart to receive the seed. We are just sowers. Some of us are just are planters. Some of us are just water boys. All we can do is plant and water. But God placed within each one of us the will to change. And you can will tonight to change. And if you came here tonight with a hard heart, it don't take all day or all night to change. You can determine to break your heart so that the seed, which is the Word of God, can find a place to germinate and grow. You see, if you throw the seed in on the soil that you break, then it's difficult for the birds to come and take it out. But if it's on the hard surface, it is left exposed and easy picking for the devil. I believe he's saying something to you tonight. So some he might just be saying, "Just hold on a minute, man. The invitation song soon over." And some people just wait for that. Can't wait to just sit down. Don't allow the word to find place in the heart. If you have a hard heart, do something about it. You can plow it. You can wet it. You can break it. Do something. Just don't leave with that hard heart, because the devil will take the word from you. Tonight, God wants you to come. You're not here tonight by accident. You're not here by chance. It is the will of God. God designed this for you. Oh, it might just be your last chance. It might be your only chance. Yesterday, I shared this with you. I went to a funeral of a guy who, when I was preaching at Barnsley, so many years ago, he used to visit almost every Sunday night and most Wednesday night. And we always encouraged him to give his life to the Lord. I left, went to the Cayman Islands, came back 4 years now, and he's still doing the same thing. Just visits occasionally. A few Sundays ago, he visited the church. And they talked to him about, he just mentioned it. Time for you to give your life to God. You know the regular term, "May soon come." He went home. And he fell. Hit his head. Well, he's now in the cemetery. Do you know the amount of sermons that guy heard? The opportunities God gave him. And he refused to obey the word of God. He didn't know that that Sunday night was the last that he would be in worship. This might just be the last message that you hear. No, don't listen to me. Listen to Jesus. And break your heart so that the Word of God can find root, because it has power to transform your life and make you what God wants you to be. And all you have to do, it is very simple. You see, the simplicity of becoming a Christian, you know, amazes a lot of people. A lot of people are, you know, it is so simple that they make it difficult. It is so simple to give your life to the Lord that people refuse it. It's just too easy. All you have to do is hear the Word of God. And I know you have ears to hear. All you have to do after you hear it is believe it. But why should I believe the Word of God? Well, the Word of God is believable. You see, God never gave us His Word without evidence that His Word is true. When you examine the Word of God, you'll realize that the Word is indeed truth. Everything that the Word of God says is true. If the Word of God mentions a particular hill, you can check it. It is accurate every single time. If it mentions some valley somewhere, you can check it. The Word of God is accurate every single time. It's believable. So all you have to do is believe. How hard it is to believe the truth. Well, if it's difficult, it's self-induced. If it's difficult, because the Word of God is believable. Jesus says, when you hear the Word and you believe it, you're convinced that this is truth. All you have to do is repent. You see, it is the same Word that calls for a change. But you can't come in contact with the Word of God and still remain the same. You see, if you come in contact with the Word of God and you don't obey, you don't remain the same, you know. You remain harder. Or you become harder. So you don't remain the same. So it either makes you better or you decide to be worse. So it says, believe it. Do you believe tonight that Jesus is the Son of God? That God sent Jesus to die for you. When we went astray, He laid the iniquities of us all on Him. Do you believe that? And it's easy to say, you know, but I believe. It's easy to say, well, you know, I repent. It's easy to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Make that great confession. But I don't know why we are afraid of water so much. When it comes to baptism, you know that can wait for a while. But I tell you this, I've said it many times. God is not in the dry cleaning business. You must be born again. Of the water and of the Spirit. You see, you can't have the new life and still have the old man. That old man, you have to kill it. Eh? And when you kill it, what do you do with it? You bury that old man and come up new. Now, you look the same way. You know, if you're not that handsome and you got on the water, you're still coming up not that handsome. Eh? But your sins will be forgiven. And there's a promise that God made that your sins will be forgiven. If you believe His Word and if you obey His Word, you will be saved. All you have to do is do what He said. Exactly as He said it. There was a man in the Old Testament, Naaman. Was this high official in the Assyrian army. But he had a problem. You know, he leprosy. And he heard that there was a man of God in Israel who could tell him what he needed to do to have his leprosy cleansed. So he went up to the man of God. The man said, well, send a servant, go tell him to dip 7 times in River Jordan. Well, you must be crazy. Do you know who I am? I always say, him with him ugly self, I'm going to dictate as the home he wants to be clean. Eh? And so, go dip 7 times in Jordan. Just follow God's instructions. It's as simple as that. He started to argue. It becomes a debate over which river is better than the other. Another banner and proper better river than that. Yes. But God said Jordan. Jordan. And so he went into River Jordan and he dipped. God says 7 times. Amen. Don't stop halfway. You see, you hear, you believe, you repent, you confess, but you want to stop halfway. 6 times dipping in River Jordan, you would still be a leper. That's right. That's But seven times, because that is what God says, dip seven times. And he was cleansed. God's word is always true. And tonight, if you're here, if you are a member of the church, and your life is not in keeping with the will of God, you're not here by accident. God invited you here to hear this, an opportunity for you to change. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you need to believe the word of God. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, and you must be baptized. Amen. And then the Lord will add you to the church. Amen. That's the beginning of the journey. Jesus says, teach them, Brother Mitchell, to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. But is there one tonight who came with a hard heart and used the will to prepare it to now receive the word of God? We're going to stand together and we're going to sing a song of encouragement. And we're going to invite you to come. We're going to invite you to come and give your life to the Lord. There is no time like the present. There is no time like now. In fact, all that you have is right now. You don't have tomorrow. You don't have yesterday. You don't have this morning.